Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, do we know if Cubs radio personality Zach Zaidman is going to be here today?
It's Zach Zaidman on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
I'm there whenever you need me, JD. Zach Zaidman with you until 9 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And joining us now on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park, and the aforementioned Cubs television analyst from Marquee, Jim DeShays, joins us now here on The Score as we talk a little World Series getting set for Game 3 between the Rays and Dodgers. Series tied at 1. Charlie Morton on the mound for the Rays. Walker Buehler will be on the hill for the Dodgers. JD, good evening. It's been a while. How are you?
It has been a while. It's great to hear your voice, Zach. I'm well. I'm up here in Northern New York on the St. Lawrence River. It's 80 freaking degrees, and I'm sitting outside having a glass of wine surrounded by candlelight.
Really? You really are getting in the mood here for Game 3 of the Fall Classic.
That's what it's all about, brother.
Have you spent a lot of time watching the playoffs and specifically the World Series, and what has stood out to you over the first two games between the Rays and Dodgers?
I've watched a decent amount of the postseason. The league championship series I thought was great, with a lot of drama. In terms of the World Series, I don't really have a rooting interest. Like everybody else, we just want to see a long 7-game dramatic series, and it's shaping up that way. I was really happy to see Kershaw pitch well, because the narrative of Kershaw not being big in the postseason has kind of followed him for a while now, and it's probably unfair. So it was good to see him be really good. The other part of it is life is just really hard for a starting pitcher these days. When Blake Snell was dominating as well as he was, and he can't make it for 5 innings, I think it just speaks to how much power there is in the game and how managers are afraid to extend their starters and put him in dangerous situations. Then there's just, up and down the lineup, there's just so many dangerous hitters. It's become a game that's dominated by relief pitching.
Talking baseball with Jim DeShays here on The Score. It's a great point that you make about how life is so difficult for starting pitchers now. And maybe you can help explain this to people who don't understand why the Dodgers would essentially treat a World Series game, and that's what happened last time out, as a bullpen game. Can you explain why in this new era of baseball that's something that makes sense?
Well, I think, look no further than Craig Counsell and the Brewers and the success he's had, kind of changing his model over there with the way he handles his pitchers, refers to them not as starters or relievers, but out-getters. And I think if you don't have great starting pitching depth and you've got a number of arms in a bullpen, you've got expanded rosters, I think managers more and more are buying into this idea that I like this pitcher against this part of the lineup. And I'm gonna kind of script it, and I'm gonna play the game according to those rules. And then I guess the only question would be, at some point as a manager, do you trust your eyes a little bit more though? Do you say, well, even though I've scripted this, and I want pitcher X on this part of the lineup in the third inning, my starter's gone out there and he's looked really good, so I'm gonna change that formula a little bit. The problem is if he gives it up, you're second-guessing yourself and you're kicking yourself and you're having to explain it to everybody else in your R&D department and your front office why you varied from the plan. Um, So it's just, I think it's difficult for baseball fans because the game that we kind of grew up watching is shifting, and some of it doesn't make sense.
Charlie Morton going for the Rays today, 5-0 in the postseason, including 3-0 with a 0.57 ERA this year. Walker Buehler also has some terrific postseason numbers. What stands out about that pitching matchup to you?
Well, that this could be the throwback game in this series. This could be the game where two starting pitchers go deep into the game and kind of slug it out for 8 innings, maybe 9 innings. And, you know, you harken back to Jack Morris and John Smoltz in 1991. You have that kind of an outing. I watch Buehler pitch, and I think, how does anybody hit this guy? I mean, his stuff is so electric, and the ball just explodes out of his hand. You talked about Morton's pedigree with, you know, what he's done in the postseason. I'm hoping for an old-fashioned pitching duel here tonight where both these guys take it deep into the game. And, like so many of these games with so much power, it'll probably come down to one big swing. And having said all that, it'll probably be 8-6 in the fourth inning.
Unlike the first
baseball
two games.
Does, right? Well, we think we got to figure it out.
It's a crazy game.
Wrong. Yep.
Unlike the first two games, they've got the roof closed at Globe Life Field this evening because of the potential for rain in Arlington and temperature in the low 50s. Do you think that will have any kind of impact whatsoever?
I don't know enough about that ballpark and the way it plays with the wind patterns. So I can't say with any degree of certainty how it's going to impact the game. I think pitchers generally like to have the roof closed. They like to have a closed environment and know what they're dealing with, as opposed to maybe some swirling winds. But I can't tell you, Zach. I really don't know.
I love the honesty. Jim DeShays is with us here on The Score. All right, a few things that I wanted to hit with you, just based on what we saw throughout the regular season. All the new rules that baseball put in, and essentially an experimental year because of this unique season. Which of those new rules and the new things that we saw in 2020 would you recommend stay on once baseball goes back to a full season?
I would be in favor of the three-batter minimum for a relief pitcher. I would like to see that stay. Just to give that a full season's look. I'm not saying it needs to be around forever, but I'd like to take a longer look at that and see if it can impact pace of play. It doesn't seem like it really did this year, but I think if we were able to combine that with limiting the number of pitchers that a club had at its disposal, then that could significantly change pace of play. And it might, we're talking a few minutes here and there. But I think what frustrates the fans is the pitcher comes out of the bullpen, faces one guy, manager goes to the mound, removes him. And, those three or four mid-inning pitching changes to get the advantage, I hope we can kind of stay away from that as much as possible. I think it creates favorable opportunities for big-name hitters later in games because managers have to decide, who they're going to set their bullpen up, who they're going to attack, and who they might have to compromise their situation against. So I'd be on board with that. The man on second base in extra innings, I could take it or leave it. I like a hybrid model maybe where we play traditional extra innings for an inning or two and then go to that man on second base scenario. But they could do anything with that. I would be fine. The DH is likely to stay. And I'm disappointed about that. I would prefer that pitchers hit in the National League.
Interesting. So the other thing I was going to ask you is the athleticism of infielders is as good as it's ever been overall in Major League Baseball. And that's why they can do the shifting that they do. Would you like to see something close to basketball where there are times where you have an illegal defense and you can't shift all the time? Just to try and manufacture more action?
I would be willing to take a look at that in the minor leagues or in independent baseball and see how it plays out. My hope is that as we evolve, the hitters will start to adjust a little bit and will change their game. Right now, what most hitters are trying to do is hit the ball over everybody's head because of the shift, because it suppresses batting average. So guys are trying to, if I hit the ball hard on the ground or on a line, I might be out. So let's try to hit it over everybody's head. And that's why you got, you know, the uppercut swings, the launch angle emphasis. And then you got guys throwing 99-mile-an-hour fastballs shoulder high, and it's resulting in tons of strikeouts. But that's not really a great answer, Zach, because you're looking for am I in favor or not. And I would say at this point I am not, but I'd be willing to look at it in the minor leagues and see how the game plays with the hope that hitters are able to make an adjustment. And I have another rule change for you. People are complaining about how long these playoff games are going.
Yes.
Let me float this one by you. Every playoff game, every broadcast, every game, you play 6 innings. Now, hear me out. It's a 9-inning game. We're going to play 6 innings tonight. Stop it. Tomorrow night, we're going to play the final 3 innings of that game and the first 3 innings of the next game, and then we'll roll it over the next day.
Interesting.
You're on that for a while, my friend.
No, I am. I always thought an easy way to speed up the pace of play without taking away what makes baseball baseball is perhaps having a pitch clock. Because you look back, if you just look back at some of the videos when you played back in the day, the game just moved faster. People didn't take as much time. And another thing, and I was, as a pitcher, I wonder what you would think of this. Why does a pitcher need the warm-up tosses on the mound once he enters the game?
Yeah, we could cut down on that. You could have the rule where the guy has to throw. You know, when he comes out of the bullpen, he has to be ready, and he only needs, you know, 3 warm-up pitches or 5. You know, and it's incremental. How much is that little rule going to change? Not much, but if you do that with some of the other things. Maybe you kind of speed things along a little bit. And again, it's not necessarily total time of game, but pace of play, keeping fans engaged, more action, less downtime. Pitch clock, I'd be all in on. The problem is the strikeout and the walk has become such a big part of the game, right? Guys are grinding out at bats. And when I played, there were a lot more hitters that their MO was, we're going to go up there and we're just going to try to get a base hit. So they were more aggressive. They were more likely to hit a pitcher's pitch, and they were more likely to make weak contact early. The hitters are better now. They're more disciplined. They're more powerful. I shouldn't say they're better, but the game has changed, and they're more disciplined, and they're more powerful. And that's what's leading to, you know, all the high strikeout, high walk, high home run counts. It's a great game, and I'm not one of those guys that have, you know, get off my lawn guys that it was better when I played. I just think there are some changes that could be made that would and make the game better, to move it along a little bit.
That's why I wanted to ask you, because I know that you put a lot of thought into it, and you've adjusted to the way the game is played now, and you're not the kind of guy that says, back in my day we did this, 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 and this. Our final few moments here with Jim Deshaies as we talk some baseball. In looking back at the Cubs season and in listening to what Theo Epstein had to say about the season and moving forward, what do you think is the number one point of emphasis during this offseason to try and get the offense moving in the direction that it used to be?
Yeah, I would say, find a hitter or two their game is more put the ball in play, kind of along the lines of what we're talking about. Fewer strikeouts, more contact, guys that can move the ball, guys that spray the ball around the diamond a little bit. You know, you can't have a lineup full of those guys because power still rules. But I think the Cubs lineup right now is a little too homogeneous. A lot of similar type guys, sluggers who hit home runs but strike out and walk. I think about a guy like Zobrist, you know, a hitter like Zobrist, mm-hmm. who rarely struck out. You could count on him to put the ball in play. One or two of those type of hitters mixed in with the current group we have, or some portion of the current group we have, I think is probably going to be a point of emphasis for Theo.
Just to get a little bit more balance. Hey, JD, thank you so much. Enjoy the wine, say hello to the family, and have a great off season. We appreciate the time.
All right, Zach, be well. Great to be with you, my friend. And I'm looking forward to watching 6 innings of baseball tonight.
That's great. days spending time talking about the World Series with us here on The Score. And by the way, Justin Turner has gone deep for the Dodgers. So in the top of the first inning, it's Los Angeles on top of Tampa Bay, 1-0 in Game 3 of the World Series. The Dodgers and Rays are tied at a game apiece. Let's take a timeout. When we come back, some interesting news out of the NBA. That's next on The Score. Zach Zaidman with you until 9 o'clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670. Big Ten football is back. Number 14, Wisconsin, a 7-0 lead over Illinois in the first quarter. We'll talk more about the Big Ten coming up in about 20 minutes with Corey Provis, who will be calling Iowa-Purdue tomorrow afternoon on the Big Ten Network, and we'll find out what the Big Ten needs to do to put a team in position to win the national championship this season. Is it going to be possible? Because, you know, you've got the other power conferences underway, and I think the Big Ten is a little bit behind the eight ball. So we'll find out more about that conference coming up at 7:40 with Corey Provis. Zach Zaidman with you until 9 o'clock here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 312-644-6767 is the phone number. And if you missed the news earlier today, Woj and Wendy reporting that the NBA is pursuing a pre-Christmas Day start and a reduced regular season schedule for the 2020-2021 season, abandoning plans to delay the opening with the hopes of bringing fans back into arenas this season. The NBA is proposing several changes because of the pandemic, including a 72-game regular season, a play-in tournament, and the likelihood of no All-Star game or All-Star weekend this year. The league considering a two-week break at the midway point of the season. And the goal is to make sure that the season is over in time for the Summer Olympics in 2021 in Japan, which is so big for growing the game. It's such an international sport. I think it's very important for the NBA's best players to be playing for their respective countries in the Olympics next summer. But I think the overall message that you get from that, and get used to it because it's not just going to be the NBA, is because we don't have a vaccine or true reliable treatment medication at this point for the virus, I think we're going to be seeing this in all the other sports. So even though we thought 2020 was going to be the outlier, that's not true. We're going to have to make adjustments when it comes to sports in 2021. That includes the NBA. You're likely not going to be able to go watch a game. If you are, it'll be in a reduced capacity form. So it's not going to be like sports is back next season, like everyone thought. And we could be seeing games and seasons and different timetables like we had in 2020, maybe not to the extreme that we saw this year, but until everyone starts wearing masks and taking social distancing seriously in our country, I think it's impossible to have any kind of normalcy, especially when it comes to our sports. And yeah, we may be able to see them on TV, but as we witnessed this past year, the numbers are down across the board for a variety of different reasons. And I think the same thing may happen in baseball. You know, obviously all these sports would like to go back to a full season because it means money, but I don't know if you can do that. I don't know if you can hold a full season of baseball. You can't have 162 games if you don't have fans in the stands in every city. How do you do that? You know, you remember the labor issues that were taking place just to get baseball to get to a 60-game regular season schedule. And now they're going to play 162 when we still don't have any answers to the virus, and clearly the numbers are getting worse. You know, we don't live in a bubble. You see what's happening in the real world. you know, maybe football by next year, you can have fans in the stands at full capacity. But, I mean, do you think that's realistic? No. No, college basketball is going to be starting up pretty soon. The goal is right around Thanksgiving to get a season underway. I don't know how we're going to be able to do that. You know, and I worry that just like in football, you know, Florida having the issues that they have with the virus. I believe at last check there were 31 players on the Gators that tested positive for COVID-19. You know, are they going to be able to make up the two games that they missed? You know, in the Big Ten, I think that there will be an opportunity for a football champion in the Big Ten to eventually go and play for the national championship in the football playoffs. But you'd have to be a team that essentially goes unbeaten during the Big Ten season for that to happen, because I feel like without a championship game in the Big Ten this season, you're really going to have to wow the committee in order to get there. And I think if Ohio State is that team or Penn State is that team, that, yeah, that may happen. But all it takes is one outbreak and, you know, you're going to have teams. And the reality is it's going to happen. We've seen it happen in every sport where there hasn't been a bubble, where you have outbreaks. It's going to happen in college basketball. I don't believe every single team is going to be able to complete a full season. I think the same thing will happen when it comes to the Big Ten football season. It's unrealistic to believe that every school that is kicking off this weekend is going to be able to play the same amount of games because they don't have any bye weeks. So if you have a team that has an outbreak and games have to be canceled, I don't think they're going to be able to make it up. So you're just going to have to live with that inequality when it comes to sports at different levels all season long. And the same thing is going to happen in the power conferences when it comes to basketball, in my opinion. I think hockey is another example. You know, they'd like to have the season start around January 1st. They've already canceled the Winter Classic. They've already canceled All-Star Weekend, including the All-Star Game. And I think what will happen is that they'll try and get through, but we're going to have situations like you ran in with baseball, where the Cardinals and the Marlins were significantly hampered for a while before remarkably being able to get back on track and find a way, both teams, to make the playoffs and do well in the playoffs in the Marlins case. So I just think that's what we have to look forward to, both in not just this year, but next year as well, as we all learn to adjust given the situation that everyone has been in this year. And until we all as a country take the precautions seriously. And you can't just say, you know what, sometimes it's okay to wear a mask, sometimes it isn't. Sometimes you social distance, sometimes you don't if you want to get together with people. That's the kind of stuff that, because not everyone takes it seriously 100% of the time, we're in this situation. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We'll talk Bears coming up at 8 o'clock with Kevin Fishbane. And one of the things that I want to ask Kevin, and you heard Tom Thayer mention it last hour here on The Score, is that there's a lot of blame being placed on the Bears' offensive line. And I understand it is not the best offensive line in football. I also don't think it's the worst offensive line in football. And I don't believe that all of the issues that the Bears have on offense are simply due to the offensive line. I think there are several different factors at play. One is the play caller. Another is the inability to run the ball, which usually you start with the offensive line, but I don't necessarily know that the offensive line is the biggest culprit when it comes to the running game this season. I think, and Tom said it, I believe it, it comes down to a sense of trust. And if you're the running back, you have to allow for things to develop a little bit. You have to have a little bit more trust in the guys in front of you. And yeah, they have to do their jobs a little bit better. But I think there have been plays that have been left on the field by the Bears offensively, which has resulted in this team statistically having among the worst numbers of any offense in the NFL. They're near the bottom in all the major categories. And you just scratch your head because you don't have to be elite in order to be really good this season. They're 5-1 as is, which is great because they're off to this terrific start. You've already seen the Vikings stumble out of the gate and start trading away people. The Packers showed you that, you know, they're beatable. They're really talented, but they're beatable. What you learned last year is that you don't have to have an elite-level quarterback in order to win. San Francisco showed that. Tennessee showed that. But what you do have to have is balance. And I ask this question constantly, every single week. What is it that the Bears do well on offense? What is it? Other than Allen Robinson having to make contested catches, what is it that they do well on offense? You've got to establish what it is you do well and be able to do it consistently. Then you'll be average on offense. You'll make your defense significantly better. And then that changes everything that you thought about the Bears in 2020. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Out to the phones we go. Bob in Joliet, you're on the Score. Good evening, Bob.
Hey, Zach, thanks for taking my call. I've been involved. I'm age 60. I've been involved in a cyclical industry called the stock market, and it goes through ups and downs, and, you know, you could say bubbles. You know, there's been a couple bubbles. Every industry goes through that: oil, semiconductors, you know, lumber, commodities, every industry. I've thought for the last few years, that Hollywood and pro sports have been in a bubble. The bubble has finally burst. I didn't know it was going to be a pandemic, but, you know, It really, in my opinion, it really looks ugly. I don't know how owners can, you know, make it through. And I don't know how we're, you know, either, you know, motion pictures, Hollywood, sports are going to get through this. I'd like your comments on just the point I make, that it's just the mother of all bubbles in pro sports. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Bob. I appreciate it. I wish I had all the answers. I don't think anyone does. You know, now where I disagree with you is that there isn't a bubble that is bursting. I think that once we do get a vaccine and once we do get reliable treatment medication, that eventually and very quickly you'll be able to go back to normal. But until then, in order to be able to live with the virus in our midst, you have to be able to change the way that you've become accustomed to living. And some people in our country have done it. Unfortunately, not everyone has done it, because right now the vaccine and the treatment medication is a mask. It shouldn't be that complicated. It is social distancing. And if more people did that, if every time you left your house, as you walked around, you saw everyone outside of their homes wearing a mask, then you know we've begun to do the things we need to do in order to be able to live a little bit more with the virus the way it is. But clearly, that's not the case. You leave your house right now, you are bound to see people who aren't wearing masks. Therefore, you can't go to games. You can't go. Now, there's certain things you just can't do. You know, it's very difficult to go and eat indoors at a restaurant. That's why we have all the restrictions coming back. And there are changes that we're going to have to make. It's not going to last forever, but you know what? We'll get through it a lot faster if we just listen to the scientists. And I don't think it's going to destroy sports if we start doing the things that we need to do that the scientists tell us to do. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We'll switch gears, talk some Big Ten football next with Corey Provis here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Badgers have no timeouts. They can't stop it. McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is good. Yes! Good!
Let's go! Let's go, baby!
Upset in champagne. The Illini win it. 24-23. Right down the middle. And that is a happy mob on the field.
The biggest win of the Lovie Smith era when Illinois upset Wisconsin last year. Brian Barnhart and Martin O'Donnell on Learfield IMG. And Big Ten football is back. In fact, Lovie and the Illini in action against number 14 Wisconsin. It's the Badgers up early, 7-0 over the Illini in the second quarter. Zach Zabin with you. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And we're talking some Big Ten football with our good friend Corey Provis of the Big Ten Network. And he joins us now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Corey is going to be calling the Iowa-Purdue game tomorrow in West Lafayette. And I think that that game has a little bit of drama now because of who's not playing tomorrow, Corey.
Yeah, it's good to be with you again, my man. Great to chat with you. But it's a really good game, and we're not shy of storylines even entering the game. But Rondale Moore, you know, a guy that opted out when Big Ten football wasn't going to happen, but then opted back in, and one of the more talented wide receivers in the game. And certainly when he announced he was coming back, that sent a jolt of excitement within the Purdue football program, but he will not play tomorrow. Now, they're not saying what it is, but what I can tell you is that the Big Ten began daily testing on September 30th, and up until tonight, they've not had a single player test positive for COVID-19 since they began the daily testing on September 30th. So based on that, you know, Rondale Moore, it's not COVID-related. This is something else. But what that is, you know, he missed time last year with a hamstring injury. We do not know more than that at this point.
Corey Provis is with us. He's going to be calling Iowa and Purdue. And you mentioned all the different storylines. I think Iowa is very interesting because of all the stuff that happened over the summer with that program off the field. What did you learn just in your conversations with everyone that you talked to at Iowa in terms of what that program did to try and get back together as one to take the field tomorrow?
Well, let's kind of go back in time that a Kansas City law firm was hired to investigate, you know, claims and allegations of systemic racism, bullying that had gone on for years now within the Iowa football program. And this law firm came back with a report, and they found that there were examples of exactly what players did allege. And it really came out in an early June team meeting where all the players, all the staff, they got together, and they went through this thing, and there were some uncomfortable moments. But conversations, cornerback for Iowa, Julius Brent, said there were some uncomfortable conversations, but conversations that had to happen. Kirk Ferentz even told us this week that there was one player, did not identify who the player was, that walked out, and you know the coaching staff wasn't sure that if they were ever going to see this guy again, but he was the first guy in the building the next day. But what I gather from that, just from chatting with the coaching staff and a few players this week, is that there was remorse, and there has been a change. We chatted with Robert Silver, Nico Vergani, just asking him about the tenor. Did he notice just a change in tenor with how he's being coached? He said, absolutely. Now, you know, who is gone from the previous staff as of right now? Only the strength coach, and he was noted pretty prominently in this report in his past relationships with players. So the strength coach, he resigned, but this isn't over. I mean, you know, on game week, this went back even on Sunday, where eight players, all black, where they got together with a lawyer and they have demanded that players be paid, former players be paid $20 million, and they're demanding that the athletic director, Gary Bart, is fired, that the head coach, Kirk Ferentz, is fired, that the offensive coordinator, Ryan Ferentz, is fired, or they're going to pursue more legal action. To this point, these are only demands, but to say that this story is over, Zach, is not accurate. So this was a significant occurrence and occurrences that happened throughout the Iowa program for many, many years, and it came to a head this summer.
Corey Provis is with us as we talk some Big Ten football here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. And speaking of the conference as a whole, do you believe that the best team in the Big Ten, when all is said and done, will have an opportunity to play for the national championship?
Yes. I think that there's too much behind this, that if Ohio State, you know, if they run the table and they beat everybody soundly, that they're going to find their way in. They're going to play nine games. I think if Ohio State, if they are dominating teams, and I think they're going to run up the score on everybody that they can, I think that you will see Ohio State, especially them. Other teams, it may be different. I mean, Wisconsin right now, they're at the ranked 14th in the country. If they, you know, beat everybody in the West and then beat Ohio State in the championship game, then they make a strong case themselves. But what does that mean for Minnesota? That we're going to find out. But I think Ohio State would be the team that, and they're loaded. They've got so much talent that if they run the gamut and finish 9-0, I would imagine they're going to be in that Final Four.
Yeah, the thing that I think no one has an answer to at this point is, what if they can't play nine games? And we've seen it in every sport where there isn't a bubble. Outbreaks happen, and it might not happen on the Ohio State team, but it may happen to an opponent that Ohio State has at some point this year, and there will not be an opportunity to make up that game if you can't play it. And then what happens?
Great point, and I'm doing the Iowa-Purdue game, so Iowa traveling here, you know, and the players get tested every single day. That if, you know, an Iowa player tested positive today, he's not traveling. You know, he's not traveling. He's not going to be here. What happens game day tomorrow if all of a sudden two or three guys test positive on either side? Then you have a problem. And then you start the contact tracing and you run some more tests. But then it's going to be, you're going to run into that. And I'll be shocked. I'm an optimist. Zach, we've known each other a long time. But I just can't tell you right now that all 14 teams are going to get all nine games in. I don't feel strongly about that. Just based on what I saw with baseball, I just think that I'd be shocked if all 14 teams get all nine games in. It'd be great if it happens, but I just don't see it.
I think it's a realistic way of looking at it. Just considering the world that we live in right now, you can't ignore what's happening in the real world, and obviously it's going to impact the sports world across the board, no matter what the sport is. I do want to hit on some baseball stuff, because you had an opportunity to call every game for the Minnesota Twins again this season in a most unique of seasons. What stood out to you about the new rules, the experimentation that we saw in certain aspects around the majors this season that you would like to see held over when we have a full Major League Baseball season?
The three batter rule did not bother me as much as I thought it would. Now, then again, you know, playing, you know, Cleveland, you know, normally 19 times and playing them 10 times, that probably played into it, because Terry Francona changes his pitchers every chance he gets. But that didn't bother me much. I liked the extra inning rule. I thought it was cool. I thought, and the Twins were in a few of them, and some of the other games I watched, I did not see much bunting. Did you? I just seemed like, and Mike Petriello of MLB.com had a great story about that earlier in the year, about how bunting isn't always the path to success unless you have a team like the Royals, who that's going to be kind of who they are. But the new rules did not really bother me that much. I think that, are they here to stay? I think that the three batter minimum is going to stick around, and I wouldn't be shocked if we see the extra inning rule kind of linger for a bit longer, because I thought that was pretty fascinating.
Me too. I think the reason we didn't see a lot of bunting is because, at least in the top half of innings, you have to play for the big inning because you're not sure what's going to transpire in the bottom half. So I think that's what made it interesting. I like the drama that's getting created, even though it's a little bit manufactured. I would like to see a pitch clock added. I would like to see them keep the DH in the National League. Who knows? I just have a feeling that, you know, based on what we're hearing from the NBA and the NHL, that we may not be able to have a full 162-game season next season. So you may see other experimental things being added to the game. And I think a pitch clock is a great way to just help the flow of the game without taking away what makes baseball baseball.
And don't you think, too, Zach, as we await, you know, a vaccine and as we await to see how it's going to be distributed, that it wouldn't shock me, too, if they delay the season. Still try to get in, you know, whether it's, say, it's 150 games, 152, 154. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe push spring training back even more. Instead of starting in February, maybe they start it in mid to late March, buy some more time. If we have enough of a sample scientifically and medically to see that there is a vaccine and we're seeing some good things early on with it, let's maybe pull back, and then maybe we can incorporate fans in maybe at a 25-30% ratio to start with, if indeed, you know, the science is pushing the conversation in that manner. So I expect a season next year. I don't know about 162, but I expect, you know, well over 100 games, but it wouldn't shock me if we just start a little bit later than we normally do.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think is going to be interesting, because you know that Rob Manfred wants expanded playoffs to be the wave of the future and for this to continue. I don't know if as many teams as we had this season, but clearly that's something he's looking into and would like to add going forward. I don't know how I feel about that, but I think that it's important to do whatever you can to get as many people as possible interested in baseball. So if it takes expanding the playoffs to do it, I'm all in for that.
But I think you have to reward division winners. And outside of hosting, you know, the best out of three in this playoff format that we had, what was there? I just think that there should be a way that a division winner should be able to hang around a little bit longer, have a longer series than what we had this year. So if that means less teams, but then there's more of a reward for that division winner, I'd be more on board with that than what we had this year. I mean, it's cool seeing in, you know, this NCAA tournament kind of look at it, that the one seed's playing the one seed and the two best teams are playing right now in the World Series. And that's great. But I still think that there should be more of a reward for winning your division, especially if you go back to 162 games. I think that's even more so.
That's a great point. As we let you go, Corey, and thank you so much for joining us. As a Syracuse alum, your thoughts on the Cuse being a 46-point underdog heading into tomorrow's game against Clemson.
It's so sad. I mean, I saw highlights of the Liberty game last week, and I know they lost their quarterback and they've gotten a ton of injuries, but my goodness, mm-hmm. I'm dating myself here. I'm 42, but when I was there, and Zach, you're a little older than I am, but when I was there, you know, basketball wasn't that great. That just when I was there, we had a bad run of basketball and more of a football dominant team with McNabb and Dwight Freeney and all these guys that were going pro, mm-hmm. You know, Donovan Darius and Tabucky Jones and Rob Conrad and James Mungrow and all these guys that were going to the NFL year after year. And just to see where that program is at right now, it is just so sad that they are not a football power. And I don't know when they're going to be that. I hope that they will be one day. But my goodness, and I know they've scared Clemson in the past. That's not going to happen tomorrow. Clemson's going to win by like 90 points tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly. No question
and
about
beat,
it.
What was the score with Georgia Tech last week? Didn't they beat them by like 65 points last week?
Yeah, it was like the Bears beating Washington in the 1940 NFL championship game. It was ugly. I think it was 73-10, and Trevor Lawrence had nearly 400 yards passing and five touchdowns in the first half.
It's going to be men against boys tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, thank you so much for cheering me up. I appreciate it.
All right, man. Great to catch up. All the best, okay?
You got to take care. Stay safe. Corey Provis will be on the call on the Big Ten Network when Iowa takes on Purdue tomorrow afternoon. Let's take a break. When we come back, Bears with the Athletics' Kevin Fishbane right here on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.